Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our series on anticipating the arrival of Mashiach. Over the last couple of episodes, we have been talking about the impact that you and I can have on our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So like the big question is like, we are going to tell God that Mashiach has to come. Like, who are we to tell God that Mashiach has to come? When God wants to send Mashiach, God will send us Mashiach, right? Well, that's actually not accurate. Because if you pay attention to your prayers, and you are supposed to, as we will focus on during the course of this particular episode, you really need to focus on and intend to say what you're reading, or it's not really a prayer. So if you're going to think about the words you say, you're asking Hashem to accelerate the process of Mashiach's arrival. You're not simply noting that you believe Mashiach is going to come. You are not simply saying to God in your daily prayers, I subscribe. I'm in. I'm ready to welcome Mashiach. Sure, we'd love to see Mashiach come. No, in fact, you're demanding that Mashiach come. You're making a very incessant kind of request. And as we talked about in the previous episodes, you're doing this multiple times during the course of the day. In our immediate past episode, we gave examples of some of the greatest tzaddikim whose lives and legacy can become inspiration for us, as we're all in some way connected to the concept of righteousness for our own prayers. And we can make an impact. And today's episode, the 58th in our series, is called Needing Impact. And here is the thesis. If you need it, and I mean need it, it can have a bigger impact. It's actually that simple. It depends on your needs. Okay, so let's elaborate and explain. In the blessing of the Shmon Esrei, just before Shema Koleinu, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send us the coming of Mashiach very, very speedily. Es tzemach David avdcha meheiros atzmiach, the 15th blessing of the Shmon Esrei. We say the tzemach David, the sion, the sprout of David HaMelech should come forth very, very quickly, speedily. Meheiros atzmiach, should sprout speedily. So let's talk about this blessing, because it has to be noted that we're not praying for Mashiach to come. We're praying for Mashiach to come very speedily. And this is not simply an expression of faith. It's not simply a way for us to articulate our trust or even our yearning. We're actually praying for a result. And the result is accelerated arrival. Okay, so let me share this with you. The Tur, which is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, in chapter 119 of Orach Chaim, which is the first section of the proverbial code of Jewish law that governs the way a Torah Jew lives his or her life. And so at the very end of chapter 118, he comments on the 15th blessing of the Shmon Esrei of the Amidah. And he says that, just checking if we have any questions here. Okay. He says that Achar Bonei Yerushalayim, after the blessing of rebuild the city of Jerusalem, we move on to ask Hashem for an accelerated arrival of the coming of Mashiach. And we've talked about this in a previous episode. This is a remarkable teaching from the Bach, the Bayit Chodosh, on the Tur, and there's this emphasis on the building of Yerushalayim first, and only afterwards Mashiach comes and takes his rightful place in the newly rebuilt city of Yerushalayim, which is not referring to pavement or to physical buildings. There's like a whole different level of building we're referring to. So then we get on to this 15th blessing, and that is that we are asking for Mashiach to come very speedily. And the Torah points out that Uva Esrim Tevot. In this blessing, there are 20 words, and that's meaningful. This is not the only prayer in the Shemoneh Esrei that's patterned after a verse in the Tanakh. This too is patterned after a verse in the Tanakh. In the biblical book of Isaiah, Yeshayahu HaNovi's prophecies in the 51st chapter, which speaks much about comfort and consolation. And many of the things that Yeshayahu HaNovi, that Isaiah speaks about, refer to the comfort and consolation that will follow the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash and the return of the Jewish people to Tzion in what we call the Jewish Second Coming. That's when we came back to Eretz Yisrael and really burnished our credentials for eternity, because no other nation was routed from a land and came back to it. That's where we become really eternally connected to the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael on some level. It's where our possession is expressed in a way that's unshakable and immutable, regardless of what kind of conquest followed afterwards. So many of these verses are speaking specifically about the ultimate comfort and consolation. It's Yeshayahu HaNavi encouraging us not to become despondent despite the delay, and to continue to hope and yearn for a better tomorrow. And in the third verse, he says, quote, Ki nicham Hashem Tzion, for Almighty God Hashem is going to comfort Zion. Nicham kol churvoseha, he is going to comfort all of its ruins. V'yosem midboro ke'eden, he is going to render its wilderness fertile and pleasant. He's going to place it ke'eden, like the proverbial Garden of Eden. Kigan Hashem, like the Garden of God, and Sosin v'Simcha Yimotziba, gladness, joy and gladness will be found in it. Toida v'Kol Zimra, thanksgiving, and the sound of music. Now this is a euphemistic series of parables, which are describing the future of Tzion. Tzion refers to the Temple Mount. More broadly speaking, Tzion refers to the city of Yerushalayim. And in a very, very global way, Tzion refers to the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. So this is the future, and this will happen. And there are 20 words in that verse. The chapters are not necessarily of Jewish origin. The breaking up of the verses is. So that verse has 20 words. Correspondingly, the bracha of Es Tzemach, David Avdecha, Meheira Satzmiach, has 20 words. Now this is meaningful, because there's a dispute as to how the blessing should read, according to the version, the Nusach of the Arizal. There are those who add the words, U'mitzapim li'Yeshua, and we anticipate, await for redemption. So the Shar HaKoilel, which was authored by our Rebbe's Elter Zeder, Rav Ram David Lavut, which is a commentary on the Alter Rebbe's Siddur, he points out that this bracha, the 15th bracha, Es Tzemach, is after the Jewish people will experience all of the trials and travails of Golos, then finally we'll experience Matzmiach Keren Yeshua. And he cites the Tur, and he says it's also written in the Kolboyan and the Pri Etz Chaim that there are 20 verses here. And he says there are those who believe that you're supposed to add the words U'mitzapim li'Yeshua. And this is the way it appears in a version of the Siddur of the Arizal that was printed in Zalkve. But it only appears there in the morning Amidah in Shacharis, and it doesn't appear in the Shemoneh Esrei of the evening. The Shemoneh Esrei of the evening actually has 20 letters, like the Torah says it should. Now, the Shar HaKoilel points out that the Arizal, when he describes the kavanot, the intentions for prayer, there it is written that when you say the words, Ki lishu'oscha kivinu kol hayoim, for your redemption, your salvation, we have yearned all day. When you say those words, Yitzape li'Yeshua, await that salvation, await the redemption. Why? So the Arizal says, Kidei sheyucha lahoshiv leyemadin, so that you'll be able to stand before Mashiach someday, and God is going to ask you, or Mashiach is going to ask you, tzipisa liyeshua? Did you await? Did you live with a sense of anticipation and yearning for the coming of Mashiach? This is a Gemara that's found in Masechet Sanhedrin, and during the course of this series, we have elaborated on this Gemara more than once. Now, Yom Hadin may refer to the day of judgment that we undergo as individuals when you stand before Hashem after 120 years of a terrestrial life. But we're hopeful, as I mentioned in a previous episode, that we are going to experience a Yom Hadin, a day of reckoning, not when we have to pass, but rather when we welcome Mashiach. It's a different kind of white clothing we're looking for, as talked about in a previous class. So when they'll ask you, Tzipisa liYeshua, the answer is yes. When? When did you yearn? When did you await Mashiach's coming? And the answer is, when I said the words in a Amai Shmon Esrei Ma'amida, when I prayed every single day, thrice, and I said, liYeshuascha kivinu kol hayom, at that moment I experienced a powerful yearning. That's what I was thinking about. That was my intention in prayer. So the Shahar Kolo reasons, Harei, that which is written in Tefillah Shachris and await redemption is not over here. It's not supposed to be Leisha Yosef Shnei Tevis. You're not supposed to turn this into a 22-word prayer. No, it's a 20-word prayer. When you say, Ki Lishuascha Umitzapim Li Yeshua, that's the intention of the Arizal Siddur. And the Shahar Koel says what happened here is that whoever prepared this for print simply made a mistake, and he included the words which were describing your intentions as part of the actual liturgy. He incorporated them mistakenly, erroneously, into the body of the text. And he says, in fact, in the Siddur of the famed Kabbalist, Reb Meir Parfrish, these words, Umitzapim liYeshua, are written in small font. Small font, as if to indicate, here's where you think or intend this concept, not where you read the words. And its intention is for kavona, veloy al amira. The Shahar Kolel says, therefore, ein lehosif shnei tevot, we should not be adding these words, that would contravene the clear ruling of the Tur, which is also cited by the Kolboy and the Pri Etz Chaim himself, and the Siddur of Meir Parfrish, and the Siddur of the Arizal himself. And the Shahar Kolel says, that is why the Alter Rebbe removed those words from the liturgy, from the text of the prayer. Okay, so we're not saying O Mitzapim LeYeshua, but we're actually anticipating and awaiting the coming of Mashiach. And here, at that famous Pesach Sheni Fabrengen that we've been talking about, 1984, over the last couple of episodes, the Rebbe continues now to develop this thesis. And he says, in other words, what we're asking for is not the coming of Mashiach, but as I mentioned, what we're asking for is that God accelerate that process. Mehera tatzmiach, faster than it was supposed to happen. And this then is the intention of these words. And here the Rebbe goes on to highlight something of supreme importance when we are talking about tefillah, about prayer. We've mentioned this before, and I can't stop saying it enough because, unfortunately, so many people just are mindless about this and mistakenly think that prayer means turning the pages or saying the words as quickly as possible. Nothing could be further from the truth. The words of the great Rambam that we have cited in so many of these classes. The idea of prayer, and I'm quoting now from the Rambam, Laws of Prayer, which is in the first chapter, Halacha Beis, Chiyuv Mitzvah Zo, the obligation of this mitzvah. And the Rambam rules that it is a biblical mitzvah to pray daily. Sheyehe Adam Mitpalel, that a person should pray, Umitchanen, and he should offer supplication. Mitchanen does not mean to read words. It doesn't mean to mouth the words. Mitchanen is a state of mind. It's a state of emotional being. When you are pleading, you are not saying words. You are pleading who are begging. Think of a person who finds himself in a very, very difficult set of circumstances, and he or she is pleading for mercy. That's what prayer is supposed to look like. It's an act of supplication. As the Rebbe elaborates on these very words of the Rambam, in Lakuta Sichas, volume 34, this is an edited Sicha, which it speaks about Chag HaSukkot and the mitzvah of Hakel, but on page 214 in Lakuta Sichas, the Rebbe notes with regard to prayer. He draws a parallel between the mitzvah of Hakel and the concept of assembly and prayer, but I'm going to focus on what the Rebbe writes here with regard to prayer. As I said, this is edited. The Rebbe says in the second column on page 214 the following. Mitzvah tefillah, when we talk about the mitzvah, the commandment, the divine mandate, the obligation to pray, he says mitzvah tefillah is sheyehe adam mitchanen, that a person should plead. Michal David is asking, shouldn't one, shouldn't one something Hashem with joy? Serve Hashem with joy. That's what you meant. Yes, of course we should serve Hashem with joy, but you can make a joyous supplication too, and there's an element of seriousness to prayer. We should be joyous, but hey, if you believed, and you should, that your needs are in Hashem's hands, and you have real needs right now, like maybe you can't pay your bills, maybe you desperately need a healing. You know, like a jovial about, hey, God, you think you can heal me up a little? Or if you are serious about your prayers, and you should be, and if you believe that Hashem is the one who brings us that deliverance, and you need Hashem's help now, you're pleading. There's an element of joy, there's an element of seriousness. It's true, the Mishnah says, Ein adam mitpalel elo mitoch simcha. A person only prays out of joy. It's also true that a person only prays out of kovod rosh. And that doesn't have to be a contradiction, but that's a class for a different day. So the Rebbe says, and he emphasizes the word mitchanen in italics, sheyehe adam mischanen, and he explains, shezeh shahatfilo tzricha liyis ba'ifin shel tachanunim, when we say that prayer must be in the manner of pleading, eino tnai tzdadi, it is not a detail, it is not a sidebar or condition, it is not even an additional obligation. Ella, it is etzam ha-mitzvah. It is not something that is added. The mitzvah of prayer is reading words, which, by the way, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is. You have to read those words. He says, the mitzvah of prayer is prayer. I'm davening. I'm also going to have intention. It's a critical component that I add to my prayer. Wrong, says the Rebbe. That is the meaning of prayer. If you're not being mitchanen, you're not davening. Sorry, it's actually that simple. The below tachanunim choser b'inyone shel tefila. Your prayer isn't accurate. Your prayer isn't real. There's something missing. Your prayer is simply incomplete. Now, that doesn't mean that if a person is not being mitchanen, it's better not to daven at all. The Rebbe notes in another sicha, which is in Chelik Chof Beis, where he speaks about a remarkable rumination of Reb Chaim Halevi, Reb Chaim of Brisk, on the Rambam, who maintains that if you're not intentful, you may as well not pray at all. The Rebbe says that Reb Chaim's words don't necessarily have to be taken in the most literal fashion, in a legalistic sense. And there's something up to prayer, something. But to say that the prayer is intact, even the action of prayer or the words of prayer, is not correct. It's not correct. And the Rebbe adds in a brackets here that in this Shona mitzvah tefillah, the mitzvah of prayer is different. It's unique from all other commandments in the Torah. Lo rak mirov ha-mitzvot, not even simply from most mitzvot, where kavanah is an incidental. Elagam mitzvot, even from the mitzvot, like the mitzvah of sukkah. You're supposed to be mindful and intentful when you sit in the sukkah, remembering that Hashem shields and protects the Jewish people as He shielded and protected us when He took us out of Mitzrayim. or the mitzvah of tzitzit, that a person is supposed to think that he remembers all the mitzvot, or the mitzvah of tefillin, that the shibud alav ha'mayich, supposed to remember the miracles of the Exodus and the oneness of Hashem, and you're supposed to subjugate your heart and your mind to God. These are things that have to be a part. It's actually a part of the mitzvah. And these are three mitzvahs that are unique in that the kavana is not a mitzvah should be performed intentfully, rather that the mitzvah must be performed intentfully. That is in a part of the mitzvah itself. But bahem, in these mitzvahs, hakavone hi chelek meha mitzvah. In those mitzvahs, it is a part of the mitzvah. Ki, b'mitzvahs elu, in these mitzvahs, im heyos shakavone v'hamaisa heim shnei chalokim shel mitzvah, although the action of the mitzvah and the intent of the mitzvah are two segments of the mitzvah, shnehem bichlal geder ha-mitzvah. They're still included in what we call the definition of the mitzvah. It's a defining part of the mitzvah. Mikol makim, nonetheless, ha-maisa b'lei kavana, if you do an action without any intention, nechshav gam ken kechelek me-mitzvah, it is a segment, it is a part of the mitzvah. So if a person spent time in the sukkah but didn't think about these things, did he or she fulfill a mitzvah of sukkah? The answer is yes. If you put on tefillin without these intentions, there is still value to the act of the mitzvah. The act of the mitzvah, that part of the mitzvah is complete. You're missing another part of the mitzvah, which is the mindful intentions. However, mashenkin betfilo, harei hadibur hatfilo, beloy kavono, if you are merely mouthing words, but you are not being intentful, you are not offering supplication, that is missing. It's a defining hallmark of prayer. The prayer is incomplete. And this is very powerful words. So if that's prayer, and we are opening a siddur three times a day, and you're reading the 15th bracha, and you're saying, you're saying to God, you're demanding, you're pleading with Hashem, make this happen faster, please. And then you turn around and say, what is wrong with these Hasidim who say we want Mashiach now? Who are they to tell God what to do? God will bring Mashiach when He wants to. Hello, did you just listen to the words you said in Shmon Esrei? When you said those words, Esemach David Avdcha Meheira Satzmiach, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Anticipating that Mashiach will come is not the meaning of the prayer. Because you don't say, Esemach David Avdcha Tatzmiach. Meheira! Meheira means that the request you're making is to accelerate the process. And here, the Rebbe noticed something very interesting. We don't find a mitzvah like this. There isn't a mitzvah to demand the acceleration of the coming of Mashiach, but there's a mitzvah to pray. Okay, when is there a mitzvah to pray? Or what is the mitzvah of prayer? And as we mentioned, the mitzvah of prayer is that you're shoel tzrachav. In other words, if you feel a need, that's a real prayer. You need to feel the need. No pun intended. Says the Rebbe, Kasha Yehudi margish achosel le'mashehu. When a Yid feels that he or she is missing something in life, when you're missing something, olav levakesh hazeh, then you ask Hashem. As it says in the book of Tillim, you ask Hashem b'chol eis mitzoy whenever you have opportunity. This is found in the 32nd Psalm. It's the sixth verse. And the Mitzudah Zava says, what is eis mitzoy, an opportune time? What does that mean? He says, k'sheyimtze libe sholem, when you find yourself sincere and wholehearted, that's opportune. That's when you daven. My dear friends, davening has to be a time of libe sholeim, of sincerity, of wholeheartedness, of tshuva, of return to Hashem. Radak echoes a similar sentiment in his commentary on the Tillim. He says, le'eis sheyimtza libe pani, when his heart is open, free to focus. Libe sholeim b'tshuva, you're returning to Hashem. So my dear friends, you're davening. It's a beautiful thing. You're now devoting yourself to speaking to Hashem. It's an opportunity. And what do you ask for at this opportune moment? You ask for your needs. You ask for your needs. And the Rebbe gave a simple example that anybody can relate to. People pray for their prosperity, for their parnosa. And they don't just ask for parnosa. Very few people want to just subsist. We ask for plenty. We want plenitude. Parnosa baharchova, mizoyne revicha, to quote the statement of our sages. And that is to say that even if somebody has the bare necessities to keep body and soul together, you know, bread and water, for example, the person wants to have some butter on the bread too. Ritzoina, his desire is, he wants, dare we say he needs, mezeinu revicha. And lest you say that that's not appropriate, don't be a glutton. Be happy that you can keep body and soul together. Survival's good enough. Well, actually, that's not true. It's not true. It is appropriate for us to want and expect more for Hashem. And in fact, it's a psak of a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia, in the beginning of chapter 7, speaks to us about somebody who hires workers. And he commits to providing for their sustenance. So that's a very dangerous commitment to make, because the Mishnah says, "Afilu kesuda shleime b'shaita," even if you're going to give the most lavish of meals, like the proverbial table of King Solomon, which was that's like the paradigm of wealth and opulence, and a lavish, beautiful meal. Even that's not good enough. The Mishnah says, because these are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and as the Mefarshim, like the Bartanura, explain that how, you know, we have descriptions of the meal that Avraham Avinu served. Every guest got himself a whole calf. So therefore, the Mishnah advises you, don't make these broad commitments to provide parnasa, sustenance, I'll feed you. Well, feed them what? Clarify, define it, because otherwise you have obligated yourself in a way which may be beyond what you intended, or maybe are even able. So we see that when we're talking about Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, members of Am Yisrael, even Seuda Shleima B'Shaitai doesn't cut it. So if that's the case, what do I deserve? Well, as a member of Am Yisrael, according to the Mishnah, what I deserve is a meal that is greater than that proverbial King Solomon's table. If this is true about food, this is true about mere material sustenance, how much more so when we're speaking about the food for our soul, when we're speaking about true fulfillment, true self-actualization, when we speak about a sense of true oneness and closeness with Hashem. So that's what Mashiach is really about. As we talked about many, many times, Mashiach is not about the removal of problems. He's not the panacea for issues that vex. He's not the answer to anti-Semitism and terrorists and illness. Yes, of course, it's true. All these things will dissipate when Mashiach comes. But Mashiach is about leida, to know Hashem, a time in which the whole world will be saturated in the knowledge of God. And that has to be what you're needing. You have to be needy. You have to feel a need for that. And when you feel a need for that, now we're talking. Then your prayer can be meaningful. Your needing makes the greatest impact, because then your tefillah is really a tefillah. Otherwise, you're saying words. You're saying a similar of the Avad Chomer Satzmiach. I want Mashiach to come. Why do you want Mashiach to come? Well, you know, it's going to be fantastic, because there'll be no more bigots and no more fascists. And that's not Mashiach. You need to know what you're asking for. You know, when I was preparing this class, I was thinking to myself, So this is what the Rebbe was talking about. The Rebbe said time and again, we have to learn about Mashiach. If a person doesn't know anything about Mashiach, how in heaven are they supposed to want or yearn or anticipate Mashiach? Unfortunately, so many people have no clue. People who profess belief and faith in Mashiach's coming and have no clue of what they're professing faith in. That's a problem. That's what we're having this series. So that you and I can learn what's expected of us. So that we can understand what we're missing. So that we can begin to need this. Because needing the coming of Mashiach will make our prayers have the most powerful impact. That will actually accelerate the process of Mashiach coming. And the Rebbe went on to draw on a well-known, fascinating ruling of the Rambam, which is found in the Laws of Tshuva. The Rambam, in the third chapter of the Laws of Tshuva, in Halacha Dalet, he speaks about how a person should view himself and the whole world. And the words of the Rambam are Tzorich kol adam sheyira atzmai. A person has to see himself as if that person is ki'ilu chetzi zakei v'chetzi chayev, as if you're found half wanting and half meritorious. And that's not only a way to view yourself insofar as God judging you for what you need, but v'chein kol ha'olam, you should look at the world in that fashion. Your Weltanschauung, your picture of global welfare should be a world that is perhaps chetzi of zakai, half meritorious and half not. And therefore, the Rambam uses the imagery of the scales. And he says when you have perfectly balanced scales, the slightest amount of weight or volume that's added to either size can weigh the scales down. Awesome mitzvah achas, says the Rambam. You added your small contribution. You did one mitzvah. Harei hechriya es atzmei ve'eskol ha'olam kulei l'kaf schus. You have weighed down the scales. You have tipped the scales in the favor of goodness for you and possibly for the whole world. Goram loy v'lehem, you may then have caused tshuah, salvation, hatzolah, total redemption and salvation for you and for the whole world. So when the Yid davens as he or she should, with sincerity, with wholeheartedness, when you're davening because you need this, because you've come to understand that you need Mashiach to come. And because you need Mashiach to come, like anything you need, you want it. And because you believe that Mashiach can and will be coming soon, you anticipate this. And you plead with Hashem that it happen faster. Just a little bit faster. That in and of itself can be the thing that weighs the scales down. That can have the impact and make all the difference. Bringing about, in the Rambam's own words, later on in the same set of halachas, that when we draw closer to Hashem, miyad, then immediately, heinigolin. May we merit to pray with sincerity. May we merit to pour our hearts out before Hashem. May we merit to understand and feel the need for the coming of Mashiach and to daven in that fashion. May we merit to be the ones to make that impact and to bring about the coming of Mashiach b'poel mamash in our world b'mehera u'b'yameinu, speedily and in our days. Amen. Thank you so much for joining. Please share this. Let's get the message out, because the more of us that'll hear these words and be inspired and uplifted by them, the bigger the chance we have to finally tip those scales. If you aren't yet subscribed, please do be sure to enable notifications, and I look forward to seeing you back. Have a beautiful day. I look forward to meeting you in the third Beis Hamikdash with Mashiach b'mehera u'b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you.